And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, as we gather here today, as we celebrate God's presence, we go to Psalm 46, verse 1. And this psalm and this specific verse really serves as the theme throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school system for this coming year. And the theme of my message to you this morning is the theme that has been set for this school year by the Synod, and it is Real Present God, based on Psalm 46:1, which reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so we gather here to celebrate God's presence, the reality of God's existence among us. Have you ever really thought about it? It would be extremely difficult as an atheist to prove your case in the world in which God has created. Think about that. Sometimes I think maybe we can be a little intimidated by those who are self-proclaimed atheists. But when you think about it, can you imagine from their perspective attempting to prove to someone, to prove to you that there is no God, that God is not real, that he is not present, that God does not exist? Well, in Scripture, Psalm 14:1, the Lord tells us, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And when you look at that word fool, it means, you know, in man's common senses, in our own intellect, in our own reasoning, if we just look honestly at our own reasoning, it's going to tell us clearly that God does exist. And we all know that. But as we gather here this morning, sometimes I believe we too need to be encouraged in these truths as God reveals them to us, because there are times when we can get down and out in our lives. We can get filled with doubts and so forth. And so this morning, it's good for us to review and to celebrate the reality of God, his presence among us. And God is real. That's the first point. God is real. In fact, he is as real as his creation. Have you ever thought about that? Before the whole universe existed or any life in it, God already existed. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And so without God, there wouldn't be any of this. But he is real as his creation. And it's interesting, as we heard Genesis 1 read this morning, verse 1, God doesn't go into a long dissertation of proofs to prove that he is the creator. God simply comes to the world through his word, his inerrant word, the Holy Bible, by the way, and he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God just lays it out there. It's a fact. This is the way it is. I am God. I have created the earth and everything in it, and the heavens as well. And so not a long attempt by God to say, look at all the proofs. Although as we go through Scripture, they're revealed to us all over the place. But even without the Scriptures, by what God has created, we see God in everything, which shouldn't surprise us because he is the creator of everything. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and by the way, there's sermon notes in your bulletin, and there's all these Bible verses are referenced, so it'd be a great Bible study or devotion for you when you get home just to kind of go through it. Look up these passages. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, we hear these words, for his invisible, his their God, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. And God is addressing the Gentiles, the non-Jews, those who didn't have the written word of God in hand. But God is saying that they're without excuse not to believe, and they're without excuse not to even recognize some of God's attributes, like his eternal power and his divine nature, just by looking at what God has created. Wow, those are firm words from God. He is visibly present among us. And who is this real God? Well, it's the Trinity, isn't it? And I love it in Scripture, we hear specifically the three persons of the Trinity addressed and given credit for the creation of the world and all life in it. And so in the beginning, God created. God the Father created. And then we hear about God the Son in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, which we heard read a moment earlier. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that this Word being spoken of here is Jesus Christ. And then listen to this. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, meaning this word, meaning Jesus Christ. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God emphasizing that his Son, the second person of the Trinity, fully God himself, was there creating at the time of creation. And then how about the Holy Spirit? In the second verse of Genesis 1, we hear that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so God specifically addresses his Godhood, the three distinct persons within the Godhood, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, some today say, well, that whole triune teaching that you have about God, that's just a New Testament thing. It's not in the Old Testament. Well, I would beg to differ. It's in chapter 1 of the Old Testament. And I love it. Did you hear it towards the end of our reading this morning? Then God said, God singular, then God said, let us. Wow, there's a plural here. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. Then later on we hear that so God created man in his own image. You see the Trinity in that? Ours, our own. And so it's in the very first chapter of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, that God clearly reveals that he is triune. Now, God also emphasizes he is one. In Deuteronomy, as people were running after all kinds of other gods, God says the Lord is one. Just puts it out there. The Lord is one. And so we are blessed as Christians, as God has revealed himself to us, to know that God is one and that he is three distinct persons. And that's a great mystery, but a wonderful mystery. And so God is real, and we know who God is as he has revealed himself to us. But God says, even to those who don't have the written word, they are without excuse, because God says, my fingerprint is on everything. And if you want to have a fun thing to do with your kids, grandkids, students, just take a walk and start looking at all of God's creation around and ask the question, you know, what does this reveal about God? And it can be a fascinating devotion just celebrating what God has created. But isn't it sad that the majority of the world today rejects the reality of a creator? They reject their own creator. They deny his existence. And within our school systems, within the United States of America, the majority of schools promote the theory, but it's treated as fact today, of evolution, that this is all just a cataclysmic accident. Boy, that changes perspective on life, doesn't it? Certainly changes even the value that we place on our own human life. But God clearly reveals He is the Creator. And then God makes it very clear that He is present. Think about that. And here's really where I want us to celebrate today and take this home with us, is to know that this incredible God, there's only one God, that He is intimately present with us. Have you ever thought about how intimately present God is with His creation? You know, it was in the gospel reading this morning, wasn't it? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Think about that. The Almighty God, who created all of this, including our lives, and then man and his rebellion against God placed ourselves in a position of being condemned by God for eternity because of our sin. And God could have said, you know, that's tough. I revealed myself to you in the beginning. You chose to rebel against me, and in my perfect righteousness, I can now condemn you to hell for eternity. God can do that in His perfect justice. But that's not the heart of our God. Instead, what does God choose to do? He promised to our first parents right after that original sin, the seed of the woman, who is the Word that becomes flesh, who is the Christ who died on the cross for your sins and mine and the sins of all people. And even before doing that, He lived as true man under His own law and fulfilled the law. And He did it for you and me, fulfilled it perfectly. Can God be any more intimate than that, when the Creator becomes the creature and dwells among us to deliver us? Wow. And that's historical. God has done it. And one of my favorite passages in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew sin became sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. What an exchange. And God was willing to make that exchange. And that's the heart and core, by the way, whether it's Trinity Lutheran School or Christian teachers out in public schools, that's the heart and core of the message we want our kids to know. That God loves them that much, that He would do this incredible work. Well, is God still present with us today? Yes, Psalm 46, He's a very present help in trouble. Well, God comes to us by His design in a variety of ways, but some of those ways are His means of grace. And so God is coming to you and me intimately and personally this morning through the Holy Bible, through His Word, which it is His Word, as we read it. Have you ever thought that whenever you open the Bible and you begin to read, it's God's love letter to you personally? God can't be any more present than that, can He? Whenever we desire, we can open the Word, or we have the Word memorized, it's in our minds, on our hearts, and we can recall God's Word. And whenever we do that, God's voice is speaking intimately, directly to you and me personally. What an incredible presence God has with us. God emphasizes that all Scripture is God-breathed. It is His Word, written by men, but God inspired that writing, and He protected it, and He continues to protect it. In fact, the Lord says His Word stands forever. Think about all the things you've trusted in throughout life, and they've failed you. Boy, they look so solid and real and good at the time, and then it just fades away. But not God's Word. It's not going anywhere, even if the whole world would reject it. And then there's the waters of baptism, right? What is God? He shows his presence through baptism. Connected with that water applied to the individual being baptized, all kinds of incredible things are going on. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so every time we have a baptism, and this is our font, and somebody has water poured over their head in the name of the triune God, God is intimately present with them. And all of his promises are being poured out upon them. But we can make that more personally. It's happened to us. And hopefully everybody in this room has been baptized. And if not, talk to me. But we receive Christ's clothing even. We even get a new wardrobe. We receive his perfect clothing, and he covers our sin. And then in a moment, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And oh my goodness, talk about the intimate presence of God with us. In fact, Jesus' very body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine that we are blessed to partake of. And so there's this sacramental union by Jesus' promise. He says, here, I want you to eat this. This is my body. This is my blood. And I give these to you for the forgiveness of your sin. And it's like Jesus just taking his arms and hugging us at the communion rail and saying, I love you so much. And visibly, even in, you can see the bread and wine, but I want you to know that I am present in this. The very body and blood that died for you is present in the sacrament for you to partake of. Can God be any more intimately present with us than that? Well, we go back to Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And Christ has already resolved the greatest problem, right? I mean, without Jesus, we're lost and condemned for eternity. Without being in the fellowship of faith and being separated from God, we're living a hopeless life of despair. But God has changed everything through the gift of his Son, and with that, through the gift of faith. And we have God as our refuge. A safe place. You know, one of those refuge passages in Scripture that I love very much is in John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. And we hear Jesus speak these words, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. How about that? Talk about an intimate connection. We hear the voice of our shepherd. The shepherd knows us. Jesus says, they follow me, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. What a promise. And then, if that's not enough, Jesus goes on to say, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Wow. Talk about the intimate presence of God, and he's just surrounding us with his love. And nobody's going to mess with God's children. Which brings us to the theme and the point of our day and our time shared here together. Whatever means that we have that we can bring God's word to children, and by God's design, it should start in the home. But if it's not happening in the home, or even if it is, it can be reinforced through other means, and one of those is our Christian education system. And here specifically, Trinity Lutheran School. And so we have about 80 kids that are coming each week that are hearing about Jesus every day, who are involved in prayer and fellowship with each other. And God bless our teachers for sharing that truth, not only verbally, but also by modeling as much as we can that life of faith for these young children that come. For our public school teachers, God bless you. It's a tough world out there, and you've got to be careful in how you're able to reach out to your kids. But I know that you do, and I know that you pray for them. And God works through you as well to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're in this together. And as a family of Christ here at Trinity and in all faithful congregations, that's our mission. That is the commission that the Lord has given. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. And by the way, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Well, may God be with you and with me as we go on this journey together. And don't be intimidated by the atheists. Say, hey, I want you to prove to me there is no God. And then you can say, now can I have my voice? Because I want to show to you all the evidence of God's existence. But even more so, I want you to hear his word. Because then it's only through faith that we can truly believe. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lived for us, who died for us, and who lives for us now and forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.